Hello, you're listening to Living Your Dream, a monthly talk show highlighting those who have chosen to have the courage and to take the risks, to do work, and to live lives that they genuinely love. I'm your host for the show. I'm Lissa Marquardt. I am a certified career and life coach. My passion is guiding others to find and live theirs. One of the things I so love about what I get to do is discovering what it is that other people are passionate about. We are all so different in that way, and we all possess our own unique and beautiful combination of experiences that guide us down that road if we pay attention to how they make us feel and how they make others feel. My guest today is Mary Joy Scott. She is a tattoo artist and the founder of Raven Eye Tattoo in San Francisco, and I have had the pleasure of getting to know her through my children and their pride in expressing the feelings, experiences, and people that have been the most meaningful to them in their lives. And she has given her gift of passion to them via her brilliant artistic renderings in the lifelong art of tattoos. We're going to go to break, and when we come back, Mary will join us and share her experiences and how she has become a very sought-after tattoo artist that provides the same gift to others that she has given to my children. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The Fabulous Floating Restaurant in Hope is open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner and brunch on Sundays. The Floating Restaurant's menu features fresh seafood, local beef, refreshing salads, and desserts that are out of this world. In other words, meals are as unique and exciting as the location. The fun place to be on Lake Ponderay is the Floating Restaurant in Hope. For complete menu, check them out on the web or on Facebook. The Fabulous Floating Restaurant in Hope.
We expect our information in real time. U.S. Med carries continuous glucose monitors, which provide real-time readings of blood glucose levels. U.S. Med is an approved provider for Medicare and over 500 private insurers. So call 800-730-8405 today for a free insurance and Medicare benefits check. As easy as, that's 800-730-8405.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Did you know one in four car batteries is weak and needs to be replaced? O'Reilly Auto Parts will test your battery for free. If your battery needs to be replaced, our professional parts people can help you find the right SuperStart battery for your vehicle and budget. Don't wait. Get your battery tested for free today at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!
Next up, Straight Talk from Doug.
Ever notice that saying no offense is offensive? Like, no offense, but you're overpaying for your wireless. See? Offensive.
That's the Straight Talk talking. Get unlimited plans as low as $35 a month from Straight Talk on America's most reliable 5G network. Available at Walmart and Walmart.com. On the $35 plan, first 10 gigabytes data at high speed, then 2G speeds. Refer to the latest terms at StraightTalk.com. Based on most first place rankings, root metrics, second half 2022 assessments of 125 metros. Experiences vary, not an endorsement.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your engine against sludge and wear with a synthetic oil change. O'Reilly Auto Parts has 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil for $35.95, plus get 2x O'Rewards points. Our professional parts people can recommend the supplies you need, including a filter, funnel, shop towels, drain pan, and more. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts or visit O'ReillyAuto.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Missed a noon hour? Check out the audio at our new website, NorthIdahoRadio.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Living Your Dream, a monthly talk show highlighting those who have chosen to have the courage and to take the risks to do work and to live lives that they genuinely love. I am your host for the show. I am Lissa Marquardt, and I am a certified career and life coach. My guest today is Mary Joy Scott, and she is a tattooist and the founder of Raven Eye Tattoo in San Francisco. Welcome, Mary.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my gosh. It's such a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you for taking time out of your, I know, very busy schedule to join us. I feel like I've gotten to know you through my kids, and I'm and all the excitement and appreciation for what you have done for them. So I couldn't wait to have you on the show. So thanks for making the time.
It's my pleasure. Great. And I have to tell you, you have wonderful children, and it's been a pleasure getting to know them as well.
Oh, good. I said, I know they have spent an awful lot of time with you. So that's,
right.
if after all that time, you can still say the same thing, that's a good thing.
Well, and I hear wonderful things about you too. So it's lovely to meet you in person.
Oh, great. Well, I'm bound and determined to get another trip to San Francisco so I can actually meet you in person. So
well,
there's
right.
a good motivator. Anyway, so one of the things that I'm always curious about, no matter who it is that I'm having the pleasure of engaging in a conversation about their passion is, you know, to get to know, like, everybody has their own set of gifts and talents. And it's always amazing to me when somebody figures that out. Sometimes it comes very early in life. Sometimes it, well, unfortunately, sometimes people don't ever take the time to recognize what that is. But so that being said, I would have to say, judging from the beautiful art that I have seen you create, I would imagine you always had an artistic edge that most of us don't possess. And I don't know, did you discover that at an early age, or when did you know that you had that?
When I was a kid, I was an obsessive mark maker, I guess I would say. I collected pens and crayons and anything that would make a mark, pads of paper, and I just wanted to draw. I loved to write as well. I loved calligraphy. But any chance I got, I would draw. And I began drawing, looking at animals and trying to draw animals. So one of the first things that I ever drew was a cat. Then I remember learning how to draw ducks. And I had this moment where I watched it. I grew up on Sesame Street and public television because
yes.
I had great parents.
Yes, good.
And I saw a drawing show where someone was showing the techniques of to draw ducks. And I remember having this light bulb go off that you could actually learn this, that it wasn't just it wasn't just something that fell on you from above, that you could actually apply yourself and learn.
Wow.
So I did make marks, and there were, of course, things that I felt very comfortable drawing. But then I realized that those things I wasn't comfortable drawing had a technique out there that someone else might possess that knowledge they could pass to me.
Yep.
I also had a babysitter who taught me how to draw horses with ovals and circles and straight lines. So she had a geometric approach to it. But it was a technique that I could take and adapt and use. And when I put those two things together, my passion for making marks and drawing, and then knowledge and skill from someone else, that just lit me up, and I never stopped. So I have drawn my whole life.
I so love that, because judging from the fact that you said you grew up on Sesame Street, that was before you even went probably to kindergarten or at least, you know, like in those really early years, and that you already had an inkling and a passion for what it was that you wanted to spend your time doing.
I did. And I have to, it reminds me, as you say that I had an experience when I was in first grade of learning about myself through opposition. So this story, I love this story, because when I look back at myself as a first grader, I still feel that little charge that I had in this moment. So I had a teacher named Miss Taylor.
I love that you remember that.
Oh, I remember. And we had an assignment we did every day called the Wonderful Word Book. And we would choose a word, we would write it, and then we would illustrate it.
Hmm.
And I was obsessed with Wonder Woman. I loved Wonder Woman. I still do. She's great. I drew Wonder Woman every day. And I would come up with different variations of her name. My teacher said that I needed to stop drawing Wonder Woman, that I needed to do something else. And she was not very nice about it. And I was so deeply offended by that. And so I drew a cat and I had the word cat, which was very remedial for my vocabulary at that point. So it was just sort of a way for me to get the assignment and not have her reprimand me. So I drew the cat, and then in the background I drew this big, my best Wonder Woman yet.
Oh, love and it.
So I had this moment where I recognized that I wanted to draw something and that I wasn't going to be stopped by someone else. And I wasn't going to be contained, I
right.
suppose. So that moment of knowing myself and asserting myself and kind of finding a way around someone else's limitations was very, it's been a guiding force for me internally as I've grown.
And I love that
it's, refer to it.
Yeah, I love that it is a guiding force for you because, I mean, for most kids, what happens when something like that transpires? They shut down.
They shut down.
Because, you know, it's like they believe that because they're in this institution of such regard from family and, you know, teachers and everything, that whatever is said there is basically what has to be. And I think that is monumental that you took it as a moment to go like, well, no.
No,
I know what I want to do and I'm going to do
right.
it. So
yeah.
I applaud yeah. that so much. And I so wish I could instill that in other kids and their parents and allowing that to happen as well. And that's why I always ask that question, because I feel like at a very young age, we already have a lot of those qualities and characteristics. And, you know, we just try to water ourselves down to be good at everything, as opposed to knowing what that one thing is that we really are passionate about it. And it just kind of is a natural gift or talent.
Right. And as I always drew, I always made marks, and it was an obsession for me and still is. But there was a moment as well when I was a teenager and my parents had gotten divorced and life was confusing, and I had gotten into music very intensely and sort of connected with myself emotionally in that way. And that is the moment where my art really became my guiding principle and my touchstone, because it always had been. But when you're at that crossroads of being a teenager, you have this awareness of yourself in the world, and it's overwhelming and it's confusing, and everyone has an idea of what you should do in your life.
Yes.
And for me, painting and drawing was my anchor. That was the thing that kept me centered. That was the thing that I could always refer to, and it's where I felt that I was most myself, and I still feel that way.
And that's so beautiful.
Yeah, as time has gone on, that was the moment, though, where it crystallized for me, and it never changed. I had some variations, and I'm sure we'll get into it a little bit, but I had some variations of where I was going to go career-wise with my art, but I always knew that art was my thing.
Well, and I love that you knew that and you held on to it. I worked with high school kids for 30 years and from all different walks of demographics and lifestyles. And across the board, I would hear from the parents, well, they can't have a career in art. It's just not a promising field and there's no money in it. It's a hobby. It's not a career. I mean, I would hear this all the time. So that you held on to it and realized that, you know what, this is something that I'm going to take forward with me because of how it makes me feel and how I can be successful at it. Did you get any flack from that or any pushback?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I was always the type of person that I kind of figured out the system early on, where if I got good grades, I could go out until 2 a.m. and my mom wouldn't care. So I could go to all my punk rock shows. I could go do my thing, but because I got straight A's. So you can't mess with me, right? So yes. That was sort of my, and I always made my own money. I never had anybody else tell me that I couldn't do something because I made my own money. I got good grades in high school, and I made sure that I didn't, that I wasn't beholden to anyone else, and I was able to make my own decisions. So that, you know, that was complicated trying to do that, but I always did it. I worked from the time I was 11 doing, I delivered papers. I was a paper girl.
Yes.
I've always had kind of an out of control work ethic, which is good. I have to slow myself down sometimes. But as time went on and I went to college, my mom had an idea that I should be a teacher. And I did listen to her because my mom is a very intelligent person. Mm. She's a highly successful woman who has raised four children and has a master's degree, had a career in physical therapy. She's been a volunteer her whole life. I look up to her. I think she's amazing. So, of course, I listened to her. But I didn't really agree with her. So I did listen. When I went to college, I did my BA in painting and drawing. I also took some classes in art education so that I could try teaching.
Sure.
And I taught, I did student teaching at Lowell High School in San Francisco, and I just didn't care for it. I wanted to make art. I didn't want to teach art. Yeah. I enjoyed it, but it wasn't what I wanted to do. And I knew that. So I did try. I did listen to my mom. I didn't pass out her advice. You know, I didn't cast it off without considering it and even trying it. I just knew that it wasn't for me.
And you know what? And sometimes, I pretty much think all the time, you can't know unless you do something. You can read about it.
Mm-hmm.
You can watch other people do it. But if you haven't had the own experience, your own experience in what that's like for you, it's not the same. It can't be the same. So
I agree.
I think
and
that's great.
I do see, you know, I've known people, I get to talk to all kinds of people because of my job, which I love. It's such a range. I get to talk to everyone.
Yes.
But I do find people sometimes who have gone to law school or they've become an accountant or something that requires a lot of education.
Right.
And then they do it and they hate it.
Yes.
And I think, God, why? You need to do some kind of internship or something before you invest all that time and money on something that you might actually hate.
Right. And I think, I always say you have got to get experience before you take the plunge. And, you know, for the most part, I think those ideas about what those careers are come from prestige and, the amounts of money that can be made and the fact that there are lots of opportunities available. And, you know, that can so float to the top in decision-making for young adults because that seems to be what's important. And I think that based upon the decisions you made, you realize that there's something else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I did, so I wanted to draw, I wanted to travel, as my career has taken shape, I get to do those things on a regular basis. So I've kind of, when you find the right thing, everything that you feel like you might have lost along the way comes back to you. Mm. So it's sort of like, I used to paint people's leather jackets and design flyers for music shows. And I still do that kind of
fun.
Stuff. It's that same kind of energy that I used to have in high school, the stuff that really was exciting. I still do that sort of thing. So,
just keeps getting better and better.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, because for me, being able to really keep in touch with myself and what I'm interested in has allowed me to just further deepen those things and say yes to more projects that I'm excited about.
Oh my gosh. I so love that. And I can't believe it's already time to go to break. Time's just flying by. Anyways, we need to go to break. We'll be right back. So stay tuned.
The Habitat for Humanity's very own ReStore in Sandpoint has been a long-time go-to source for new and used building supplies, furniture, appliances, electrical, plumbing, windows, doors, and so much more. everything you need for all your home building and remodeling projects. Prices are 50% lower or more than most retail outlets. Stop by the ReStore in Sandpoint on Baldy Park Drive next to Miller's Country Store. Visit them at iphfh.org.
Do you want to keep shredding Schweitzer until you're 90? Or keep up with your grandkids on a hike? Preventive care is the most important and easiest step you can take to manage your health as you age. And Kiniksu Community Health is here to support you. Even better, preventive care is covered by most insurances, including Medicaid and Medicare. So what are you waiting for? You wouldn't drive your car for 67 years without getting it tuned up, so why not treat your body the same way? Schedule your body's annual tune-up today. Learn more at kchnorthidaho.org.
Did you know one in four car batteries is weak and needs to be replaced? O'Reilly Auto Parts will test your battery for free. If your battery needs to be replaced, our professional parts people can help you find the right SuperStart battery for your vehicle and budget. Don't wait. Get your battery tested for free today at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Next up, Straight Talk from Doug.
Ever notice that saying no offense is offensive? Like, no offense, but you're overpaying for your wireless. See? Offensive.
That's the Straight Talk Talking. Get unlimited plans as low as $35 a month from Straight Talk on America's most reliable 5G network. Available at Walmart and Walmart.com. On the $35 plan, first 10 gigabytes data at high speed, then 2G speeds. Refer to the latest terms at StraightTalk.com. Based on most first place ranking, Root Metric, second half 2022 assessments of 125 metros. Experiences vary, not an endorsement.
If you're hiring, it can feel like trying to find a needle in a haystack. You can hope the right person comes along, or you can just use ZipRecruiter. Like Marco, president of operations at Telly Tires and Auto Centers.
ZipRecruiter helps me find all the right people, even the most difficult jobs to fill.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Now try ZipRecruiter free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/FREE.
KSPT, KBFI, North Idaho's radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to Living Your Dream, a monthly talk show highlighting those who have chosen to have the courage and to take the risks, to do work, and to live lives that they genuinely love. I'm your host for the show. I'm Lisa Marquardt. My guest today is Mary Joyce Scott, and she is a tattooist and the founder of Raven Eye Tattoo in San Francisco. Before we went to break, we were talking about how you just knew that art was... It was you. It was what you wanted to pursue. And then you mentioned that you went on and you got your bachelor's degree in drawing and painting. And so how did things evolve from there?
So when I finished my bachelor's degree, I was getting a lot of tattoos. I was painting murals. I was curating some art shows. And I was making a ton of art. So I just was really exploring the San Francisco art scene and the tattoo scene. And San Francisco has an incredible tattooing scene. A lot of history, and some of the best tattooists in the world are from San Francisco, or at least worked here for a lot of years.
Okay, you know what? I have this question. It's like kind of one of my looming ones, so I have to throw it in right now. So when I was growing up, tattoos were like on the old guys that were in the military. I mean, they weren't like something that people, I mean, you had to be a unique individual to have a tattoo. And so a tattoo is never something I considered in my 20s, 30s or 40s. And I kind of missed the transition from that being like something that was absolutely not in a female's realm, let alone, younger males. But so what did I miss? How did that evolution take place? Or was it kind of like slowly growing in San Francisco? I really don't know.
Well, I will say, without going into the entirety of the history of tattooing, it's as an art form, it is contemporaneous with the advent of fire, right? So people, when they started making fires, Mm-hmm. They realize if you poke yourself with a charcoal stick, you're going to get a tattoo.
Okay, so, yes, that
and people
makes
love
sense.
To they love to adorn themselves. So when you go back into prehistory, you'll see tattooing happened among and on women as much, if not more so, than men.
Interesting,
sometimes.
Yeah.
So tattooing's always been a female art, in addition to men having tattoos as well.
Right.
But in the 20th century in the United States, you're right, it really was marginalized and was sort of, if a woman did have a tattoo, it might be a small one that nobody else could see.
Right.
Or she might be in the sideshow, or she might be a biker, or
right.
In a different realm of society than sort of your standard.
Exactly.
Even women in the military didn't get tattoos as much as the men did. So I'd say, you know, in the 90s, 80s and 90s, the punk rock movement and just body modification in general, people started to get tons of a body art that was permanent or more extreme.
Okay.
And then when the tattoo shows hit in the 2000s, early 2000s, that was it. Everybody wanted to get a tattoo because all
yes.
of a sudden people saw them. They realized, oh, it's not, it's actually pretty cool and yeah. anybody could get one.
It doesn't just say mom on your arm.
Right. Yeah. And, So it definitely exploded around that time. But San Francisco's been a mecca for tattooing, since the turn of the 20th century.
Interesting.
Any port city tends to have a lot of tattooing in it. So that San Francisco
sense.
Definitely had that. But we also have Lyle Tuttle tattooed here, and then Ed Hardy, who is the person that I was fortunate enough to get my apprenticeship from.
Okay, and is that so? Anyways, I did interrupt your story, but so you got into that whole world, and love that.
Yes, so I got into the world of tattooing. I was getting tattooed a lot, and I was looking for an apprenticeship. And a lot of people told me that I couldn't do it. That women shouldn't be tattooing. I know, it just seems so anachronistic.
Some more opposition, right there.
Lots of opposition, which I've never really listened to it. I just do the yep. Bruce Lee thing, you know, like, let's go around it. Let's be water. Just go around it and find your way. If you want something, you just go get it. You don't wait for somebody to give it to you or tell you can. You just
right.
have to be, you kind of have to be aggressive and persistent in whatever way you can, or whatever that looks like for you.
Right.
For me, it was just a single-mindedness and a focus on tattooing. I looked for an apprenticeship. It wasn't panning out. I had gotten a job in Oakland, but it was, I didn't have a car. I couldn't come home at midnight. There was no public
right.
transportation. And it was fairly dangerous, so I didn't take that job. And then I had curated an art show with Ed Hardy called Getting It On, The History of the Tattoo Stencil, which is, that was a name that I came up with for the show. But we had historic tattoo stencils from like the 1880s from Maine. And it was really interesting.
Super
interesting. The history of tattooing. And I met Ed Hardy, who is an incredibly important tattooer, artist, and contributor to the sort of explosion of creativity in tattooing and the proliferation of it in all strata of society. He contributed more than almost anyone in the 20th century to that. But I was lucky enough to curate that show and get to know him, and he's just such a lovely person. And we connected over tattooing, obviously, but art history, because I have an art degree, and I had also studied art in Italy for a year at an Italian art academy.
Wow.
So he and I really connected over that. And then he called me up and asked me if I wanted to work in his shop.
Oh, wow.
And of course I jumped at the chance.
Yes.
And I started working there. And he asked me one day if I wanted to learn how to tattoo, and it was my secret dream that I never told him. But of course, he saw that in me.
Sure.
And you know, I don't think that anything just falls in your lap because you were just you're just sitting there and you're just this great person that right. somebody decided to exalt and bring into a group. It's not like that.
No.
I pushed so hard and was so fixated, and I did so much work for free. I curated this gallery for free. I didn't get paid for any of it. Mm-hmm. I drew and I painted and I was making things. And I waited tables 2 or 3 days a week because it paid the bills. I lived cheap. You know, I was, but my focus was, so I wasn't making money on my art. I was somewhat, you know, I sold things here and there. I did make some money on art. I was designing tattoos for people, but I wasn't making enough to live on.
But
so,
you still knew and you still followed it. And that is so telling. I always say, if you can't stop doing it, keep going. Just keep going.
Yes. Well, and so, you know, I think that it's persistence, perseverance, and perspiration. That's it. It's not, I've seen so many incredibly talented people, and they don't do anything with their lives or with their art.
Right.
And it's not about just talent. I have a friend who's a famous comic book artist, and people think, oh, he can draw so well. He just has this amazing talent. Well, yes, he has that talent, but he's been drawing comic book characters since he was 5.
Right.
Obsessively, you're going to get better, but he pushes, he works. So much of it is working at it and continuing and not giving up. Because I had so many people tell me that I would never be a tattooer, and that I even had people tell me there are no good female tattooers.
Well.
well, it's just insane. But the things that people say.
Yes.
There's always somebody who will tell you that you can't do something.
Always.
And you can listen to them if you want to, but that's up to you. You choose whether you can or can't do it. And I want to say that I've been lucky. I certainly have been. But that luck doesn't just come out of left field. That luck comes because you have been working your butt off.
Yes. But tell me where I'm wrong, but because I have been down that same road where sometimes you feel like you're sweating bullets, you know, just because but there is a drive that forces it. It's not somebody else's deadline. It's not making somebody else money. There's that fire inside you that just keeps burning, and you got to do something with it.
Right. Right. And you can't teach that.
No.
To someone.
No.
You can definitely help to fan the flames.
Yes.
And you can inspire somebody. You can encourage someone. But at the end of the day, it's their own passion that gets them somewhere.
Yes.
And that helps them to achieve that. But it's not everyone has that passion. I hate to say that because I want to think that everyone has that ability to find it, but not, and I do think, I actually do think that everyone has something unique to express in this life.
Me too.
Something unique and special and wonderful to do. But most people don't listen to that or find it, and that's fine. They don't need to if that's not what they want to do. But when you have it, you know it.
And I think everybody has it in there. It's just been quieted by the voice of others, because unlike you, who took information that said to you, you can't do this, they listened and acted in that direction, as opposed to saying, what the hell are you talking about? Of course I can.
Right.
So
right.
It's something as simple as that. And, again, that's why I always go back to like younger years and what message did you get along the way that made you think you couldn't do that? Because oftentimes mm-hmm. that bug for whatever it is that wants to be expressed is still there, no matter how old mm-hmm. you are. So,
well, and then there are those people along the way who really make you feel like you can do it. Like my dad, for example, took a drawing that I did, and I was so proud of it. I thought it was so cool. Because I hid my name in this design, and I thought nobody would ever see it. You know, looking at it later, my name's right there, like you can see it. But my dad took it and he put it in a frame for me. Oh. And he made it special. Like, oh, look, you did this.
Oh, and, love that.
And I thought that was that. I always held that too. So there are people along the way who tell you no and that you can't. And there's people along the way who tell you that you can. But, you know, the biggest limitation is usually your own self.
Yes. And I think, I honestly believe that whoever gives you advice, if there's someone that you know and trust, they are trying to help from their perspective. But you always need to lean on your own perspective because you're the only one who genuinely knows.
Right.
So anyways, here we are. Time for break again. Anyways, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hi, it's Lenny from 7B TV, your Dish Premier local retailer. Upgrade to Dish from DirecTV and get a $300 prepaid MasterCard. Just mention offer code DTV2DISH. Come in or call us today at 208-263-7288 to learn more and make the switch to Dish. That's 208-263-7288. Offer ends 7/12/2023. Eligibility requirements and restrictions apply. Call for full details.
Have you heard? The new restaurant at the Sandpoint Elks Lodge is now open for lunch. Tracks at the Elks is currently open Thursdays 11 to 3, Friday and Saturday 11 to 8, and Sunday brunch from 10 until 2. For more on Tracks at the Elks, go to the Sandpoint Elks Lodge Facebook page. For reservations, call 263-3313. Tracks at the Elks, inside the Sandpoint Elks Lodge on Highway 200 in Ponderay, right by the Elks Golf Course. 263-3313.
Introducing the new My Plan from Verizon. With My Plan, you pick only the perks you want and save on every one. So you get exactly what you want in your phone plan and only pay for what you need. And today, get the amazing iPhone 14 Pro on us when you switch with Select Trade-In and Unlimited Plus. Get iPhone 14 Pro with My Plan at your Verizon store today. It's your Verizon. $9.99.99 device payment or full retail purchase with new smartphone line required. $200 Verizon e-gift card sent within 8 weeks with boarded. Less up to $800 trade-in / promo credit applied over 36 months. 0% APR. Trading conditions and additional terms apply.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Did you know 1 in 4 car batteries is weak and needs to be replaced? O'Reilly Auto Parts will test your battery for free. If your battery needs to be replaced, our professional parts people can help you find the right SuperStart battery for your vehicle and budget. Don't wait. Get your battery tested for free today at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
If you're hiring, it can feel like trying to find a needle in a haystack. You can hope the right person comes along, or you can just use ZipRecruiter. Like Marco, president of operations at Telly Tires and Auto Centers.
ZipRecruiter helps me find all the right people, even the most difficult jobs to fill.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Now try ZipRecruiter free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/FREE.
97.1 FM is North Idaho's radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to Living Your Dream, a monthly talk show highlighting those who have chosen to have the courage and to take the risks to do work and to live lives that they genuinely love. I'm Lisa Marquardt, and I'm a certified career and life coach. My guest today is Mary Joy Scott, and she is a tattooist and the founder of the Raven Eye Tattoo in San Francisco. Before we went to break, we were talking about her journey to get the education behind her and the training and the apprenticeships and the experiences that just kept guiding her along the way. And then, Mary, all of a sudden, here it is down the road, and I've skipped a lot of things I would have loved to have asked you about, but we're getting short on time. So I want to fast forward to the fact that you have this successful business where you get to work with people on creating lifetime art on their body. And I'm so in awe of how you go about doing that, because it's not a painting you can take off the wall when you decide right. You don't want it anymore. And so I would imagine there's a lot of inspiration and there's a lot of responsibility that probably goes with that as well. So what comes up for you about that?
Yeah, to me, it is a huge honor when somebody trusts me with part of their skin and their body that they want me to transform it for them, and they're going to carry it with them for the rest of their life.
Right.
When I first started tattooing, it made me, I would go home and feel like I was going to throw up all night because I was so aware of transforming their body. And,
wow.
And now I still have that same feeling of that someone has entrusted me with themselves, and there is so, what I do is so important and it's so monumental.
Yes.
But also, I'm just drawing a picture on them, so I have to figure out where to hit that balance. Okay, you know, so it's a hard one, but I've gotten comfortable with it over the years, and I've gotten to this point where when I start talking to someone, I can usually tell what's sort of the right thing for them.
Oh, love that.
That's not always the case, but you know, for example, when I started working with your son Kenny. And with Brian as well, I after talking with them and sort of seeing what they were doing in their lives and what was important to them, I could sort of see what symbol made sense to them, and maybe they brought in some imagery as well or some ideas. But through talking to the person, I can sort of understand what's needed at the moment for them, and not just. So some of it is mental and psychic and historical for people, but also there's a sort of flow of energy on the body too.
Oh, I like that
I find extremely important, and it sort of surpasses just an image on the body for me. It's like a finding that vein of energy, that flow on them, and it's not so. It's not so esoteric as it sounds. It's just sort of seeing how something would be further emphasized and beautified by putting some artwork on it. I look at, you know, I always talk to people about their bodies as being their temple. You decorate your temple, you decorate your vase. We have this vessel that we get to inhabit, and you figure out a way to decorate it so that you feel more yourself. And you feel more comfortable in your own skin, and you feel like you own it a little bit more. And I do think that tattooing is a way to unify your mind and your body and your spirit in an indelible and permanent way that is a lot. It's also a lot of fun.
Oh, I bet. I bet. I mean, I'm sure when you connect with that energy and you kind of have this whole feeling for what they're trying to express, it's just probably just takes on a life of its own.
Mm-hmm. And it does. And then it goes out and walks around in the world. And I have this feeling sometimes that when I let a person walk out and their tattoo goes, it's not mine anymore. It's theirs. And while it is this very, it's very personal too. Mm-hmm. It's almost, when I'm sitting there tattooing somebody, it's almost like I'm braiding somebody's hair, or we're sitting, you know,
yes.
It's that same kind of feeling where you're with someone and you're decorating them, and then they get to feel beautiful, and they get to feel their inner self on their skin. So they get to walk around feeling their inner thoughts and desires and imaginings are out on their body. So they feel more in touch with themselves and more powerful sometimes. So it can really give people a charge that is sort of hard to describe, but people who get tattooed, they understand it. They feel it.
Oh, absolutely true. And that was one of the other things that I've witnessed through my boys and I always say that one thing that's super important when I'm guiding people to invest themselves in work that they love is that there is a satisfaction that comes from knowing that you've enhanced the life of someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually outweighs the value of any amount of money you might receive for doing so.
Right. It's a beautiful part of somebody to connect with because through tattooing, it's an it's an active form of loving and caring for yourself.
Yes.
But it's also, it's very primal. I call it the blood ritual, right? Because you're coming in, you're vulnerable, you're going to bleed, you will look different, you will be different afterward. And so it's a very intense sort of primal experience that can mark your rite of passage. It can mark a time of growth in your life. It can be a remembrance for a loss that you've experienced. So it's connecting with those very deep primal aspects of ourselves. And I personally think that it's a basic human need, not tattooing per se, right, but something like that.
Sure.
As a ritual like that, that gives you that sense of connection and communion with your physical experience.
And so I would imagine that when someone gets off of the table after you've been working on them, they're walking out the door, you're done with your art, and mm-hmm. they've got their new expression on their body. There's got to be so many feelings that both of you experience at that moment. So
sure.
Can you speak about that?
I suppose it's something I do every day. So reflecting on it is, let me see how I can sort of describe that feeling. It is sort of bittersweet because the time is very precious that right. is spent making this artwork. And then when I let it go, it feels like, oh, there goes this person. It's very yes. bittersweet. You don't know if you're going to see them again.
Right.
You know, I had a client who passed away recently, and he was very young, and I tattooed him, and we had a plan for him to come back, and then I got that news, and you never know. So it's, and since it is such an intense time, you just really never, you have to have a sense of closure because the tattoo is finished, or you've at least gotten it to a state where you've worked on it enough that you have to stop for the day.
Right.
But there is a sense of the sort of completion of a piece of artwork, and when it's not finished, it's a terrible feeling. Like, I want to finish this.
Yes.
I can't wait to get back into this moment. So you really have to sort of break the trance. And you know, as the years have gone by, I break that trance easily. It's fine. I know how to do that. One of the ways that I try to remember how important it is for people when they get tattooed is that I get tattooed as well. And I know how important it is to get tattooed, and I know how fun it is. So I think it's important to do both of those things so that I can give someone that experience and really respect their experience and understand it, because I do the same thing. And there really is this moment where you sort of have this tattoo. It's been put on you. You feel like it is a tattoo. It is separate from you. And then there's a moment where it shifts, and that's just your body.
Mm.
And you sort of own it, and you've integrated it. And so it is, I guess that sort of answers your question.
I totally love that. And, you know, mm-hmm. I hope that we've shed some light on the importance of and the beauty of what tattoos really mean. So anyways, Mary, we just have to wrap up quickly. I just want to give you a chance to let others know how to reach out to you if they want to know more about what you do or would like to perhaps think about booking with you.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you so much. So I have a tattoo studio in San Francisco called Raven Eye Tattoo. And my website is www.maryjoytattoo.com. So it's MaryjoyTattoo. And you can contact me through my email, which is raveneyetattoo@gmail.com.
Great. We're about to run out of time. I hope everybody got that. If not, reach out. One of the other ways, thanks for listening to our show.